one more chapter, and then and the last chapter, which is really ties it all together. Okay. Let's summarize what we have. I'll put things into place and then take another step forward. We're on Reish Ayin Hay in the Hebrew version. It is in the Reish Ayin Hay. Not quite. Okay. Haklal Oile Midvorov Hu. What comes out of the principle that we're extracting from everything we've said up to now is most fundamental, foundational imuna that we have. Anachnu shlichim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo'olam hazeh. We are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agents in this world. But ein lecha chovi v'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu k'shliach ha-mishtaleach v'noise nafshoi b'shlichusoi k'day l'mole oise k'roi. There's nothing more precious and beloved in front of Hashem than a shliach who does his shlichus properly. He gives everything he can in order to fill his shlichus properly. Zeh maftach gadol lahavin ulagia lahashkofen achoina sheitisa lanu b'kol tzad v'shal v'chayenu. It's an enormous key, it's an enormous pesach to understand and to get to attain the correct hashkofas, which will enable us to take every step and every action that we need to do will be correct if we have this key. He came to say lanu litkadem b'nasiv ha-yusurim shebo aleinu lavor. It also helps us to utilize and to go through the yusurim lo aleinu that we see the yusurim just getting worse and worse. Shrein lecha adam she'einu oiver shal sevel v'yusurim b'olam. There's nobody in the world that doesn't have his peckle, his baggage, his time of sevel, the yusurim. Vamnam b'sefer Yosha hamiyuchus Rabbeinu Tam ha'olam hazeh mechoina nove hatlois. Rabbeinu Tam calls this world a place of suffering. That's what this world is. Kol shekein shamurim dvarim elu klape doreinu. And as we mentioned a lot in the Sefer, it's a very unique generation with very unique dynamics. And of course, everything we've set up to now is very much aimed at Dor Ikfas HaMashiach. There's a whole Sefer, by the way, on the Nishainus of this generation, specifically on the Nishainus and how to deal with the Nishainus of this generation. The first thing we have to know, the halacha of Reshit, that the koyach of the mashalach is in the shliach. How do you make kaddish? I'll explain what I'm. Huh? The person who's sending the shliach. In every agency agreement, you have the principal and the agent. The mashalach is the one who's sending, and the shliach is the one who's being sent. As the halacha of Reshit is that the shliach, the agent, has all the koiches of the principal in this specific shlichus. How can you mekadesh a woman for somebody else? Makesha. If he's a shliach, he has the koyach of the mishaleach. The same way as the mishaleach can mekadesh the woman, he can mekadesh the woman. Not through his own koyach, but through the koyach of the mishaleach. As a zoi, im ha-koresh b'ocho ha-amidu tani b'nisyein zeh, ha-rei hu ha-mishaleach. If what we've been saying up to now is correct, that we are shlichim, and that the Yisurim are shlichim, and the Nisayinus are all shlichim, so then if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us to do this tafkid, this job, this Yisurim, Azunayis lanu koiches, elanu shim la'amud b'nisayin, he gives you superhuman powers, more power than you think you've got to be ma'amud b'nisayin. Shlichas zunayis is tafkid meyuchad, shemiyom bro. Hashem, Adam ala aretz, vat bir samashich, tzidkeinu b'mein rabbi amenu. Lo ayol, lo ye shum adam bo'elim sheikh revetze shlich hazu. This particular mission that you're dealing with now, this particular issue that's on your table, big, small, long, short, lo mashaneh, from the times of the Bris Hoylam until Mashiach Tzidkenu, no one has ever had to do this mission. It's a unique mission that was given to us, to me, to you, that we have to do, and if we don't do it, no one's going to do it. This particular problem, this particular issue, even though it looks very common, it looks very like everyone's got these issues, whatever. No, this is your unique mission to deal with now. And the more you break it down, the easier it gets. If I don't do this, the world's not going to come to its tikkun. There's one screw missing from the whole infinite universe, then the universe is not complete. There's a letter missing from the Sefer Torah, the whole Sefer Torah is possible. Why? Because.
Really? And the letter from the Sefer Torah.
You, yeah? Yeah? Yeah, I don't. Why? I don't think that it should be possible. No, it's not the same year. Every Jewish neshama is an ois in the Sefer Torah. Klal Yisrael v'arayis of a kitcher bruchu chaduhu. And if one year, not just if it's not there, if it's in the wrong place, if it's not complete, the Sefer Torah is possible. It's a boshel. It's the nimshel also, but it's a boshel. But if you have a, Rabbi Ariel Open used this once. They were kvetching with him about if one letter in the tefillin's cracked or the tefillin. If one little piece of black ink is, the tefillin are fine. You shouldn't have to get new tefillin. Why is it possible? Tefillin, whatever. So he said to them. So he didn't say anything. A while later, he saw a bocher with it was a new invention in those days. He had a tape recorder. One of those tape recorder things. So he said to me, can I open it? I'd like to see what's inside. So he said, sure. So whatever. Opened it. Inside there were hundreds of wires. Different wires or whatever. So he said to him, can you bring me a scissors, a clipper? He said, why? He said, I want to cut one of the wires. He said, what are you talking about? A one work plan. He says, what are you talking about? There's hundreds of wires. If I cut one wire, my butler. So it's the same with tefillin. It's the same with everything. I'll tell you another thing. It's very important to know this, because the Yetzer Hara doesn't want you to know this. I'm telling you something now, that the Yetzer Hara fights tooth and nail not to know this. If you know this, you have an enormous, enormous weapon against the Yetzer Hara if you want to change this. If you have a system, any system, however complex it is, the thing under the hood of your car, the entire Marechet, that's under the hood of your car, the thing that drives your computer, whatever, if you make one small change to that system, I don't care how small it is, it's a new system. It's not the same system as it was before. You take one screw out of your engine, even though the engine carries on working, let's say it's not one of the most fundamental pieces. You take it out, that engine's not the same engine as it was before. Sounds ridiculous. Sounds ridiculous. There's 50,000 screws in that engine, and I take out one, doesn't mean it's a whole new engine. It's a whole new engine, it's not the same engine as before. Because the engine before had the screw, and this engine doesn't have the screw. It's small, it's insignificant, it's petty, whatever. That's what the Yetzirah wants you to believe. When you're changing yourself, when you're working on yourself, the smallest change you make, yeah, but it's a new system. If you have a 100% problem, you take away one of those 1% of the problem, it's now 99% problem. It's not as big as it was before. It's not the same problem. Now you can come in and take off one more piece. And what? As you grow, as you climb, as you change, as you improve, you have to know how to celebrate the smallest changes we make. And the Yetzer doesn't want you to know this. The Yetzer wants you to do big things and change big things. That you can't change big things. You're not asked to change big things. You're asked to make small little changes. And as you do them, they increase, increment, increases. And the Yetzer Hara turns around to you and says, shtiyot. Pischelu Pesach kechudu shal machet ve'eftecha petach ke'ulom. Pasuk says, open for me a pinprick. That's all I want you to do. And I'll open for you big gateways. Everybody got big gateways open in front of them? Why not? Poshut. You haven't opened the pinprick. That's ridiculous. Why haven't you opened the pinprick? You know what? You heard this from me many times in the yeshiva. I used to say this all the time. You know why you haven't opened the pinprick? Because you're too busy trying to open up the Pischu Shel Ulam. maybe you're not. I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about everyone I've ever spoken to. Never heard anybody disagree. You're trying to open the... Hashem says, if you open for my pinprick, I'll open for your big gateways. So what are we trying to do? We're trying to open big gateways. Why? Because the Yetzirah tells you, open the pinpricks that's for wimps. That's not for big guys like me. That's pathetic. There's a big concrete wall in front of you. Hashem comes and gives you one of these little hand drills. He says, do me a favor, just drill a hole through this wall. What's it going to help? I want to bring the wall down. Hashem says, I know, but all I want you to do is just drill a hole in the wall. You drill a hole in the wall will collapse. What do? We stand there trying to bash the wall down with a little... Take an electric drill if you want. Bashing the wall. That's what we do. Hashem comes to you and says, stop it up a little pinprick. Just make one teeny change. And you'll see what I'll do for you. And what do? We stand there like totally miserable and depressed and disappointed because we haven't opened up the big gateway. Open up the pinprick and celebrate. Anyway, that's just in parentheses on the side. Okay, back to our subject. Mamela al Adam Lachshoiv. Person has to think and you have to train yourself to think like this. Lu lo hayiti nimtza b'matzav zeh, hayeli yoter tov. Person is not supposed to think. Hey, if I wasn't in this situation, it would be better for me. If I didn't have this problem, it would be better for me. If I didn't have this person to deal with, it would be better for me. If I didn't have this problem, if I didn't have this, anything but this would be better. It's not true. Adam nivra yichidi uboelim aprati shelo zehu hamatzav atoiv beyoyis avuri. Adam was created as a unique one individual in order to teach us that the whole world was created for me. And in my private world, which is the whole universe, this is the best possible situation that could be.
Would you be complacent?
You'll never get to that level. Hell of a...
Really, what's wrong with one second? Whoa. What's wrong with being complacent?
We don't have motivation left.
Hakol b'day shamayim chutz mi'yiras shamayim. In Hakol b'day shamayim, you have to be complacent. Not complacent, grateful. Zeh achi tov bishvili, and there's nothing I can do to change it. Nothing. In the area of Yiras Shamayim, in the area where I have Bechira, then you have to work. Chovas Olavava says this, and I think we brought the Moshel once. We get confused between where we're supposed to have a tochen and where we're not supposed to have a tochen. The areas where you have to have a tochen, and you have to know that I call tov, and this is exactly the best matzah for me. And there's areas where it's also, he calls it tipshus, it's stupidity to have a tochen. In the areas you're responsible for, you're responsible for. You lie in bed and have a tochen that you're going to put on tefillin. You have a responsibility to put on tefillin, go and put on tefillin, that's your job. And if you're not putting on tefillin, you have to get motivated. You can't just say, I call it tov. No, go and do your job. But everything that you don't have control over, which is a lot more than you think, there you have to have betochen, she's a kol tov. We're not one-dimensional people. We're not two-dimensional people. We're not even three-dimensional people. We are five-dimensional, multi-looped feedback systems. If you know what that is. Anyway, I once saw that in a science fiction book, and it made me think that that's quite a good way of describing. We're complex creatures. But in the area where I don't have Bechira, there's nothing I can do to change the situation. That's the Alcoholics Anonymous serenity prayer. The prayer that brings you to serenity. It's a famous tefillah, no? I think even we use it, that they maybe got it from us. Everything else they got from us, the Alcoholics Anonymous. Everything they say, kulu in the Rambam. It's quite frightening. Once we worked with the Tetz on the Shia on the 12 steps, what? There were people saying you can't use it. We showed that the mamash kulu hilchus tshuva, all in the Rambam. But the serenity prayer is Hashem, give me the laws of Herit now. Give me the strength to accept what I can't change, the courage to change what I can, and the chokhmah to know the difference. The things are your job, the things are your job. I told you, Simcha Wasserman said he was always besimcha because no matter what came across his desk, he would always ask himself, is there something I can do about this or not? If there was, he did everything he could because then it's my job. And if he couldn't, he never gave it another thought. Or not. No. If it's not my job, if this letter is addressed to Rabbi Biliak, so it's not my envelope, I give it back to you and I never think about it again. If it's got my name on it, then I'll do everything I have to. I'm not in the world of Ishtadlis and Betocha now. You have to do whatever you have to do. You have to do what you have to do when you have to do it. That's the biggest bracha you can give somebody. That he should be zeicher to do what he has to do when he has to do it. And everything else, it's not your business. What are you talking about? What's it got to do with you? What's it got to do with you? Why are you kvetching and worrying about something that's totally out of your control? Parnassi is totally out of your control. Totally, 100% out of your control. Ishtadlis, she's cool in your control. You have to make ishtadlis. Part of making ishtadlis is knowing what ishtadlis to make, how to make ishtadlis, taking responsibility for the ishtadlis to make. Parnassi, nothing to do with you. It's out of your control completely. Not going to shoot to the ishtadlis, nothing to do with the ishtadlis. Ah, it looks like it does. Fine, so don't dray your cup and get mubu-bald. It looks like it, Besada. Nasev Nishma, go and do it and you'll see that it's not. But what you're responsible for, you're responsible for. That you have to do it. That's what we just said. You're a shliach. In the areas where Hashem gave you a shlichus, you have to do everything you can. And know that you have the koyach of the mashalayach. If Hashem asked you to do this job, it means you have all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite power to do this job. What's not your job? So why are you even thinking about it? I don't know how you teach this to women, because women, everything's their job. So I don't know how you would. I don't know. I'm saying that's another story. We're not dealing with women. Women have other koiches. They've been your sayers or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how you deal with it. But for us men, we're very compartmentalized. And we think very much in boxes. And therefore, this box doesn't have your name on it. So give it back to you. Never sent it. It's yours. Return to sender. And what is yours? Then it's kulu yours. Nobody else is going to take care of this. This is your unique mission that Hashem gave you. A different way of going through life, I know. Now you have another problem. What do you do with a goof that doesn't buy into all of this? In other words, Baruch goes to sleep tonight, goes to bed. Sleep, we'll see what happens. Not so posh that you'll sleep. Knowing 100% in his head, that's not my problem. The overdraft in the bank, what's going to be tomorrow? I'm going to feed my family. I'm completely regoing in my head. He knows nothing to do with him. He knows what his status has to make. He's worked it out. He's got a cheshbon. He comes and learns. He works. A kol mesuda. The most tranquil person in the world, and he's ready to go to bed. And what happens? He lies in bed, and the butterflies are swirling. How am I going to make this mortgage payment tomorrow? But in his head, he knows. A kol mesuda. Whatever happens, I make it. I don't make it. They evict me. They don't evict me. I call mishamayim. I call it tovay. In his head, he's 100% clear about it. And the body's fighting. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Everybody know what I'm talking about. No matter how. So there, the Chovos HaLevavos says, "I'm worried dikaloshim," and I only found this out from experience. I don't know how you would learn pshat if it didn't happen to you. Chovos HaLevavos says he goes through a whole set of criteria that in order to have betochen in somebody, they have to have fulfill certain criteria. He mentioned 7 things, I think, 10 things, lo zocher. And obviously they're all about Hashem. And he says, if you find somebody that has all these criteria, then you chayev b'kol machshavosov u'b'chol evarov to have betochen in the person. If you find somebody that fulfills all these requirements, he's all powerful, he's all knowledge, he cares about you, all the things about Hashem, you're chayev with all your thoughts and all your limbs, Evarov, to have betochen in Hashem. My kesh in my body. How do you have betochen with your body? So one night I was lying awake with the going on inside, and in my head I was completely clear. 100% betochen in my head. Shakol mishamayim, akol tova, and it was. So that's what the Chovos HaLevavos means, lichayla. You have to get the goof also on board. That's what I do. That's Musa. That's working. That's doing the targilim. I think the best I have for how you do that is targilim. You have to practice this over and over and over and over. You have to work on it. Find small areas where the goof doesn't interfere. You have to build. How do you go from having biceps that look like mine to how that, you know, you push a bit more and push a bit more. Pick up more weights and you practice. I'm not belittling the fact. It's a lot of targilim, a lot of practice. You set the time switch for the air conditioner on Shabbos wrong, whatever, and the time switch switches off as you're about to go lie down for your Shabbos afternoon shlof. But tochen, you have to practice. You have to practice. It's exactly what was supposed to happen.
No, that's not exactly the example. Because you're supposed to
work in it. Especially when it's in the Negev and it's 43 degrees outside. And, yeah. Whatever, you forgot to take the globe out the fridge. Well, today we don't have globes in the fridge. Today you have to. Today you have to get a advanced electronic engineer to get your fridge ready for Shabbos, whatever. Okay. So, all I'm saying is you have to practice, practice. Small steps. How does a child learn to walk? They learn to walk because somebody gets him up and says, look, one step, that falls. How do we learn anything? And it normally looks impossible when you start. Riding a bicycle. When you first start, it's impossible. And no one can explain to you how to do it, by the way. You cannot explain to somebody how to ride a bicycle. Not even watching you do it will help him. He'll get a few tips. But how did you learn how to ride a bicycle? Because you just did it and one day it was, hey, I'm driving. You just click. Stop with everything. Same with Betochen, same with all these things. When you were 12, you could read Rashi script. How can you read Rashi script today? Because you practice and you work. And suddenly, I'm reading Rashi. Start doing little things and you'll see. Okay. Let's push this ahead. This is a fantastic summary of everything we've been learning the whole year. I'm a shliach. What do you want from me? I'm not the balabos, yeah? Shum dover. Lo al kaspeinu, lo al brioteinu, velo al yeladeinu. I'm not the owner. I'm not the boss of my money, of my health, of my children, of anything. You have responsibilities to do certain things. Yeah, there's an instruction manual that came with a mission, and I have to fulfill the instructional manual. But I'm not the boss. I'm not the bala boss. You want to speak to the bala boss? Go speak to the bala boss. I just work here. What's the greatest praise you can give a person? Moshe was Eved Hashem. Eved Hashem was an Eved Hashem. The greatest praise you can give somebody is an Eved. Not the boss. Kol ha-dvarim alalu niknu b'yadeinu ke-keilim u-pe-kudoinois u-bilvad kedei she'al yodam neichel le-betzeh es-shlichuseinu b'oilam. Everything we have and everything we don't have and whatever is given to us as tools in order to enable us to fulfill our mission in this world. To fulfill my unique mission, I need these kalim and not other kalim. Therefore, stop looking at everybody else's lives, don't even look at everybody else's kalim. Stop. Don't go out of your world, live in your world, work out what you need in your world, and do it. This is not a steer to kinnas seifrim. This is not a steer to tefillah. This is not a steer to many, many things. This is the basis of our understanding. Now we have to understand, so why are you davening to change it? If it's the best possible situation for you, what's davening got to do with it? Fine, we dealt with that a little bit. We need to deal with it more. Why are you making shtadas to change something that you can't change? But the basis of the hashkofa is, I have a unique mission to do that was given to me by the creator of the universe. And I'm getting on with my job, and I have everything I need to do my job. If you think you haven't got what you need to fulfill your job, maybe you don't know what your job is. Maybe you think your job is your next door neighbor's job. Maybe you wish you had a different job. I don't know. But to do your job, you have everything you need. If you've analyzed your job objectively, and you have a look and you see you're lacking something, ask Hashem to give it to you. Baba, yeah. He either say to you, no, you're wrong, you have everything you need. Or he say to you, oh, Tucker, I forgot about that, I'm sorry. You're right, well done, yeah. He's waiting for you to ask, because there is that in the Bria as well, that you're not going to get anything unless you ask for it. While that is an interesting subject, if you get it without asking for it, it's not good for you. If you ask and then you get it, then it's good for you. So there are things in the world which you need to fulfill your tafka that you don't have right now. And objectively, you've come to that akarat, so then you have to ask for them, because it could be Hashem's waiting for you to ask for it in order for you to get it. I'm not saying, yeah, just accept everything you got, but right now you don't have it, that means right now you don't need it, you can fulfill your mission in this world. What you think you're lacking, ask for it. If you get it, you get it. If you don't get it, carry on doing what you came here to do.
Does that mean we can ask
Well, your questions are stirring me now. You can ask for everything if I think it's, if you think you need this and it can make a difference, ask for it. Not anything. Whatever you think you need, whatever you think you need, not anything. There's another dimension to tefillah as well. I mean, we can't go into this whole subject of tefillah now, but it's also why you want it. Very often the why you want it, I mean, Tet speaks about this. Don't kill the rotson for the thing. Just change why you want it. You want $1 million because you want to, whatever, you want to, whatever, you don't want to worry about money all the time. You want to go on holiday, you want Yeshiva Das. But, and you really want it. So don't kill that rotson. That rotson's powerful. Just change why you want the money now. Take that burning desire that you have for this money and want it because you want to build an orphanage, or because you want to get stock, or because you... It's also an avoider. You ask yourself why you want this. And then ask for it because you want it now for the right reason. You don't just stump desire things. Even the things you desire are part of your shlichas. Ask yourself why you desire it. It could be you want the right thing for the wrong reason. Change the reason and you'll get it.
This idea that if we know Hashem gives us everything we need, then to identify something that He hasn't given us, we have to ask for it.
Avoid it. That's what I said. If you've gone through and you've analyzed it and you've understood and you know what your mission is, and you have a look and you see, Adam Arishon, when he woke up, knew that he had to daven for rain. Without that, there wouldn't have been rain in the world. The world couldn't survive without rain. So it won't survive. You don't ask for rain, you're not getting it. The things that are not, it's a separate subject under the heading of, we don't understand tefillah b'chlal. Before you even get into betochen, we don't understand tefillah. But there are things that Hashem won't give you if you don't ask for them. So He leaves gaps in your, you have to identify them and ask for them. I'll give you a hard example. I mean, a simple example, but a painful example. The couple, Rahman Hassan, don't have children. So right now he has to know that he has everything he needs in order to fulfill his purpose in the world. So he shouldn't daven for children? Of course you should daven for children. Why shouldn't you daven for children? And at the same time, no, I call Mayach, who's exactly what I'm supposed to be right now. And then go, but daven for children. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't daven to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why? He had everything he needed. Mayach Haselo. Moshe Rabbeinu was talking face to face with Hashem. He was Neman the Kolbeiso. He could travel around in Hashem's house wherever he wanted. He had the master key to all the little, these big buildings today. You know, not everybody gets the little button that opens up all the doors. He was Neman the Kolbeiso. He could go wherever he wanted in the Shemayim. What's your problem? So you'll sit in Mitzvah Sin, and your mom is living with Hashem. What's the problem? No, he's killing himself to want to go into Eretz Yisrael. But you have everything you need, Moshe. What's your problem? He understood. He had a rotzon, he had a desire. He built the design into the most powerful tefillah we ever heard. I'm not saying we can intellectually grasp it. We don't have to intellectually grasp everything. But if you go deep inside yourself with your das, you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll know, mitzad echad, I have everything I need. And mitzad sheni, I'm lacking. And on that lack, I'm going to daven. We're very needy creatures. And don't forget to say thank you for everything you've got and everything you don't have either. You have to daven for this money that you think you desperately need and say thank you because you don't have it, because it's also what's best for you. There are a lot of paradoxes in this business. Nachon. You know why? Because it's the best possible thing for you. Because if it had it wouldn't be good for you. Horaya, you don't have it, so therefore it can't be good for you. A lot of complex paradoxes going on, and each one needs to be worked through. And the prayer that he didn't pray was the one that we still survive in the schus of that one. Because if Moshe davened one more tefillah, he would have got in. And he knew that. He was platzing. He davened 515 tefillahs. You know which was the most powerful? The 516th. The one he didn't daven. He built 515 tefillahs of wanting to go into Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem said, don't ask, not another one. And he understood at that moment, if I ask, He's got to give it to me. You're standing here with everything you've always wanted, your deepest desire, and if you ask Hashem, He'll give it to you. And Hashem says, I'm asking not to ask. So the Akeda, the Poshut the Akeda. And he passed the test.
Is if you want for us or for the Am Yisrael?
Even if you want it for Am Yisrael. Even if you wanted it from Yisrael, because that was his deepest desire. Avraham Avinu as well.
But we say if he accepts, if Moshe Rabbeinu accepts, that was not good for Am Yisrael, but because he enter and builds the
Masada, whatever his reason was, he mevatled himself totally.
Yeah.
It was the loudest prayer we ever heard, is the one he never said. The same as Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu knew it wasn't good for Klal Yisrael. He knew that Yitzhak has to live. And he knew there wasn't even the Rotzen Hashem for Yitzhak to be shechted. Hashem said, no, but do it anyway. He went up to that mountain knowing he wasn't doing the Rotzen Hashem.
It's a question we want for us. And this is a problem. If we want for the other, we keep it. It's the same thing.
Nachon. But that tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu is humongous. Humongous. You've worked your whole life for something, and you want it bad, and you know that if you just ask, you're going to get it, and Hashem says, please don't ask. And you hold yourself back. That's humongous. That was Klal Yisrael by Yam Suf. Many examples of it. Stay chemed. I'm done to the stay chemed. Remind me tomorrow, whatever. No, tomorrow's a breakfast ship. Whatever. Remind me, I'll tell you what happened to the stay chemed. Also, you see that we have koiches inside of us, much bigger than you.